This show's for nothing but A-listers.
So would it be a bad time to mention that I had a dream about this podcast last night?
That's a great time to mention it.
Perfect time, yeah.
Okay, so I don't want anyone to get offended. I realize we're in 2020 now, so the hashtag me also might have disappeared. But I just want to say, I had a dream last night, and Billy Zane was on the show.
Yeah!
Okay? I know. And everyone had nipple clamps on. And when I say everyone, everyone.
I mean,
and it wasn't sexual.
I'm wearing nipple clamps right now. I don't know about the rest of you guys.
And it's not sexual at all.
Wear them like you mean it.
I don't know. I woke up and I was like, what the hell? Billy Zane was there. We're wearing nipple clamps. Like, we're all wearing nipple clamps. I don't know why.
I got to tell you, that was real.
Is it Billy Zane like Titanic? Billy Zane like the Mummy?
He was going to talk about Demon Knight, I guess, like that it had been 25 years since Demon Knight. Yeah. Yeah. And we all started talking about nipple clamps instead, and he got very upset.
Yeah.
And then I woke up. But it was very real. It was a very real dream.
Did we anger Billy Zane so much he stormed off our podcast?
I think so. Yeah.
Oh, my God. New life goal, you guys.
Yeah.
Let's get Billy Zane on the show immediately.
Everybody tweet Billy Zane.
At Billy Zane, nipple, hashtag nipple clamps.
I'm just going to send him the frog song, Nipple Clamps.
Hey, welcome to Matthew Broadcast, everybody. I'm Jenny.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Peter.
We are joined by a special guest today. He's just stepping right all over my intro.
Fine. It's fine. It's fine. This is Nick. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Nick.
Hi. Sorry, I didn't know when I was supposed to talk. I'm sorry.
That's fine. We didn't give you like a debriefing or anything. So tell everybody, like, you do several podcasts as well, right? Or you at least do one that I know of.
Yeah, I do Comic-Con's podcast. Lauren Izzo has been a guest on there a few times before. It's just a fun little podcast from my garage where we talk about everything from, a little man bat action with a 15-inch wingspan or, Tremors, you know? So, I mean, we just talk about shit that we love, you know?
Yeah, you generally pick like a movie to watch and then kind of review it. Or now, how do you choose the movies that go onto this? Are you doing like B movies, like obscure stuff?
It started off just kind of doing movies that I loved. So it would start off with movies like Monster Squad and like RoboCop, and then of course newer comic book movies. Because at first it was like, all right, we're going to do all comic book related movies, but then it kind of turned into anything that you would see cosplayed or in that Comic-Con realm.
Okay.
So it really runs the gamut. And then some shows, it just goes off the rails completely. And I'm talking about Heat or Sneakers for like, you know.
Sneakers is a great movie and it doesn't get enough credit.
It's a great movie.
Love
Thank
that
you.
Movie.
Yeah. I have not seen it.
Oh, it's really good.
It's not about Netflix. Sneakers that come to life and eat people, by the way.
That sounds fantastic. Sounds like Birdemic, but with sneakers.
Yeah. So it just depends. But I've been looking forward to this for a long time, so thanks for having me. I listen to your show weekly, and it's my dose of estrogen for the week. And then I say, that's it.
I'm so glad we had you on. Like, so you sent us a topic a couple weeks ago, and I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember what the hell it was.
It was about Justin Timberlake.
Justin Timberlake, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
I should not have been for the show.
It was Cry Me a River, and there was an article recently released that exposed that Justin Timberlake used a backup singer doing one of the runs in that song that got passed off as his own, and everybody always thought it was his voice and didn't question it.
And so he Milli Vanilli that shit?
Not the whole song, just one particular run. And Nick, if I remember right, the singer, the vocalist, she claimed she didn't get credit in the in the album liner as a backup vocalist, which that is messed up.
Well, she was invited to the Grammys, and then she sat in the nosebleeds, and So she was able to see the performance of the song that she apparently sang on. And it's that last run at the end where he's like, cry me, you know?
That stuff.
Apparently it's not him, which it sounds like him.
Right.
But it's apparently a woman.
He sounds like a woman.
Yeah. So I thought it'd be a good topic for your show because I like how your show breaks down some current events sometimes with hilarity and I don't know.
Well, and she's not just a woman. She's a woman of color. And all the credit's going to a white man.
Truth. Right.
He's just always throwing women of color under the bus like he did with Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He let her take all of that. And that was his fault.
Yeah.
I mean, they clearly planned it together. But
yeah.
But she got the blame. And it's like he could have not ripped it off.
Also true.
I think my problem with this, though, is that I don't know a damn thing about Justin Timberlake. It was like last year when I finally got the "it's going to be May" joke.
Oh.
Lauren laughed so hard she broke the mic.
I'm sorry.
She broke the mic. I swear to God, I was like, I have no idea. I do not get this joke at all.
I might know a little bit too much about Justin Timberlake. I believe that he wrote the song "Cry Me a River," or at least claims he wrote it. Who knows who wrote it? Just a liar. But I believe that he wrote it after Britney Spears cheated on him.
Mm. Oh.
Yeah.
I own the album. Shade.
Have you owned it since 2003 or what? When did it come out? Yeah.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. There's some good jams on it. Like he's got some pipes. So it surprises me that he would need to it's fine if he hires someone to do his vocals for him, but at least give him credit. You
know? Right, right. The credit should have been there for it. There's another song off that album, and I forget what it is, but I love it. It's not "Cry Me a River."
Senorita?
No.
Just start naming tracks.
You spend your nights alone, and she never comes home. All you get's a bit busy tone. What's that song? When I ask somebody to spend a lot. No, I'm not going to sing the whole thing because we're not going to edit this out.
We're all waiting.
Do you know this song? No,
no pressure. No pressure.
You're the one who's supposed to know it.
I know. I know. I haven't listened to the album in a long time.
Do you know it, Peter?
I don't know.
Peter's like, if it's not Eminem or Dre, why are you bringing me into this shit?
It's Britney, bitch.
No, Peter knows plenty more songs than that. I'm just, I know Eminem and Dre are up there. So
I know more
Radiohead.
I know more Britney than Justin.
I was just singing. Nice. Nice. Oh, somebody's going to know that song that I was singing. Tell us. Tell us, people. What was it? I'll look it up.
Call in and sing it to us at 757-541-CUND.
Leave a voicemail.
I mean, I could Google it. I just didn't want to get distracted from the podcast.
So which one's worse, though? Which one's worse? I'll give you another scenario. That scenario, right, that JT allegedly didn't, give her credit where credit's due. Okay. Or the LL Cool J incident, the doing it and doing it and doing it.
Oh, that's bad, but that came out sooner.
Wait, which one is it? What's this one?
So LL Cool J, the female vocalist on that song, that doing it and doing it and doing it well. It was a she was an R&B performer named LaShawn?
Sure.
LaShawn, I think, was her name. And that was her original track. The hook of that song was her original track. He didn't just straight on sample it. He asked her to come in and record it. She recorded it. They, did the song together. And then when they released the single, his choreographer was in the video. And it was because she was pregnant, about to have the baby or had just had the baby. So he was like, well, I'll just film it with my choreographer. She lip synced to it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But she thought she was going to go on tour with him. And then when it was time to go on tour, she had not lost the baby weight yet, but was still ready to go.
Oh.
And he was like, no, we're just going to have my choreographer do the whole thing. Like, they performed it on MTV Spring Break. The choreographer lip-synced the whole thing. She never got invited on tour. But I believe that, like, within a year or two of that, it came out on, and I remember seeing it on MTV News. They did the whole thing, and they interviewed her. And she's like, I don't care. I didn't lose the baby weight. This is what I always look like. I got a big butt. I got a big stomach. Like, she's like, fans of LaShawn, they know. And I felt bad because it's like, who the hell knows LaShawn?
Nobody knows LaShawn.
But if that's your body type and you're comfortable, like, why do you have to have a stick with boobs doing the song on stage? Which is what ended up happening.
This is why we need feminism.
An intersectional feminism at that.
Yes.
Ooh. Hashtag truth.
Hashtag real talk from Lauren.
Real talk. New podcast, Lauren.
Oh, the song that I was singing is What Goes Around Comes Around.
In the butt.
Oh, okay.
And I think that song was also an FU to Britney. It might have been a later album.
It was a Britney Spears diss track.
Yes, because it was after Cry Me a River when she cheated on him and left him for somebody else. Or maybe she cheated on him but still wanted to be with him. So he was like, Cry Me a River, I don't care. But then What Goes Around Comes Around was about her getting cheated on by somebody else.
Jesus Christ, leave Britney alone.
Boom.
Leave Britney alone.
This was all before her meltdown, too.
Oh, see? I guess he's probably very happy that he dropped her. Once that happened.
Yeah.
I know. She went V for Vendetta on his ass with the... Or was it the paparazzi?
It was the paparazzi. Like, it wasn't him. It was many years later. She was already married to Kevin Federline. She had two kids. She shaved her head. And I think she shaved her head like in a barbershop or something. I don't know. She was in some place and the paparazzi got pictures of her from outside through the window of this place, not her home, where she shaved her head.
Mm.
And then they were following her and she jumped out of the car with an umbrella and tried to attack the paparazzi with an umbrella.
She was just on the cutting edge of quarantine haircuts.
It's true.
What that was.
Exactly.
For real. I've thought many times about cutting my own hair with just take the clippers to it and just done.
So Nick, what's it like to live with a hairdresser right now?
Well, it's very, there's no chance of you pulling a I'm just going to look like, Wolverine in, 2050. Let me just come back to work, with some side mutton shops or something like that. No,
she's like, keeping you clean. That's good.
Yeah.
That's
nice. Getting a little Wolfman Jack.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She grooms me and it starts with my boy. She grooms the baby boy and then I'm standing there and she goes, you're next. I don't know why your voice drops, but it does. And then I get in the chair.
She has to sound intimidating.
You're next.
That's
but
marriage.
It's nice. Yeah. And I'm her guinea pig when she wants to do new colors and stuff. And
See, I'm very jealous of that. Like, I actually basically had your hairstyle, except a little bit longer on the sides, up until January, was the last time I got it cut. And I was like, I was hanging on. I was like, okay, I just got to go get it cut. And the next thing I know, you can't leave the house. Everything's shut down. And I'm like, well, fuck. I thought about letting it grow out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here but we are. I'm actually getting to the point that I don't know if I talked about this last week. I was to the point about a week ago that I had the scissors to my hair and I was like, I gotta do this shit. This is happening. And I'm like, no, if I'm gonna do it, I'm not gonna be right now. I'm gonna get somebody to at least do it for me.
Somebody who could see the back of my head to do it.
Right.
Yeah. If nothing else, I think I'm going to get somebody to cut the back for me. Like all these little curls are coming out now. And I've got like horns coming out of my neck. That's what it looks like. And I got that 90s skater mop top shit going on.
The way Virginia's looking right now, it might not be that much longer before you can at least legally get a haircut.
Yeah.
But there's a difference, I suppose, between legal and safe.
In Florida, they're opening tomorrow.
Mm. Well, Florida's retarded.
Yeah. The Karens got their way here.
Are any of you rushing back to do that kind of stuff? Are any of you going to rush back?
No.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm just weirded out by stuff. Like, I talked a little bit last week how my hair salon's opening up next week, but I still haven't officially pulled the trigger, but I'm pretty sure I'm gonna give up my appointment just a few more weeks just to make sure, because the way that they're opening, they are opening in phases, and they want to make sure that the numbers don't go back up for hospitalizations and, you know, deaths or anything like that.
Yeah,
as they open each stage. So maybe I'll just put it off another month or so, make sure that things are moving as they hope that they move.
And it sounds like a safe choice to make.
It feels reasonable to me, at least, you know.
And people do seem to be a little bit more safer when they are going out. Like when you go to the grocery store, you don't have to it's not like the first time I went to the grocery store after quarantine and I was practically yelling at people, get the fuck, stop standing in the middle of the aisle because I want to keep a distance from you. People are being a little bit more sensible now, it seems like.
I
wearing masks and shit.
I ran into the grocery store. I've been trying not to go to the grocery store at all. I've been trying to do all Instacart just because I get kind of freaked out sometimes in the grocery store. And I'm just trying to ease that and try to adapt to the way things are now. And but I needed something quick. I didn't have time to wait a day to get my Instacart order. So I just ran into the store after being in the office the other day. And I saw a woman, no gloves on, no mask on. Okay, that's your choice. But she was trying to remove a produce bag from the hanger and was fumbling with it. She licked her fingers. I was just like, I have to get the hell out of here right now. I mean, I grabbed my stuff as quick as I could and got out of the store. But it's just like,
with stuff like that, I'm torn between wanting to use Instacart or not, because if I see it, then I know that I can deal with
it. Stay the fuck away from that produce bag.
Yeah.
Or Typhoid Mary just had her spit all over it.
She just literally licked everything in this store.
Right. Because then every single thing she touches. And I'm very careful when I go to pick up something. I'm not going to touch it unless it's going in my cart. And usually what I'm doing, I have they have the paper towels around the store, by the meat or something. Or sometimes, hopefully if you're in a good store that has them stocked, the sanitizing wipes are up at the front.
Yeah.
I grab an extra one. And then when I'm grabbing stuff off the shelf, I have it between my hands so that I can just kind of wrap that around.
Yep.
As I pull it down. So I'm not actually touching anything, even though I'm touching it once I get it home.
Then you can always use the sanitizer wipes or whatever.
Right. I'm not doing that. If I'm honest.
So you just want the illusion of safety.
I feel better if my hands haven't been on it.
Right.
If that makes sense, even though it's coming home with me, it's still just an extra layer of, I don't want to touch something unless it's coming home with me, and I'm going to try to keep my hands off of it as much as possible until it's in my car and everything.
Here's something that happened to me last time I went to the store. I unload my groceries from the cart, and I put them in my trunk, and I'm about to walk the cart over to the corral thing, and this lady walks up and says, "I'll take your cart so you don't have to take it over there." And I was like, "Well, don't you want a fresh one from in the store? Because they're sanitizing."
They're sanitizing them.
This is at Wegmans, where they have a process at Wegmans now. Like, you walk in one door, you walk out the other door. You have to walk through the path and you have to get the fresh cart.
I've been very impressed with what they're doing at Wegmans.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's the Wegmans up here. They're doing
they've got a system.
They're sanitizing everything. You're 6 feet and they're sanitizing between each customer at the conveyor belt.
Yeah. So this lady wants to take my dirty cart. I mean, I don't have coronavirus, but she doesn't fucking know that.
Right.
You know? And I was like, I was like, I'm going to take it over there. It's fine. Like, don't you want to go get one from in the store that's clean? And she's like, no, I just want to save you the time from walking over it. I'm like, that's nice and all, but that's your fucking choice.
I mean, yeah, you're not going to, I mean, what are you going to do? Be like, no, I won't stand you. And I just
you shall not pass. Yeah. That's what I think of.
So, I'm also like, I'm trying to be kinder. I'm trying to be nicer in the stores, which I don't ever feel like I've been an asshole to people, but I'm like going out of my way to look people working in the eye and say thank you.
Right.
Especially with a mask on. Like, it's hard to like smile. You're like,
I know. Like, I think about that. Cause like, I try to like just smile at people normally. Right. Like, if I feel like I'm making an effort to be nice, is like my basic level is smile.
And nobody can tell you're smiling. Just your eyes are squinting.
People just think I'm being racist against Asians.
But speaking of being thankful, I want to take a minute to talk about this because Justin Wilson put out a challenge to his followers on Patreon.
Justin Wilson, the best
Justin Wilson ever. He's he's at the Hulkster on Twitter. Justin, who is the other half of Bell and Dubs, along with Jenny. He's always been, I think, the most positive person I know.
Mm-hmm.
He's got his hug line going on Facebook. Never says a bad word about anybody. Just is always open and trying to create and out there being a friend to anybody, you know, trying to lift people up. And he just put out a challenge. He said, if there is somebody out there who's helping you through a tough time, tell them, whether it's a creator or just a friend or whatever it is. He kind of gave us a homework assignment. He was like, you know, go do your homework assignment and report back and let me know what's going on. So I did a few, I did a Twitter post to a podcast that I've been listening to a ton of, which they may be listening right now. Dr. Jim, if you're listening, at Pod Therapy Guys on Twitter, thank you. I really appreciate it. Pod Therapy has been helping me a lot. Another podcast that I listen to, Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. I sent them an email. I haven't gotten a response yet, but that's okay. And then every week, every Thursday, the highlight of my week is that I go to Maltese Brewing Company in Fredericksburg. I stock up on beer. And I get food from Will's Place food truck and spend the highlight of my week. And I did a TikTok, and then I shared that TikTok to Facebook just saying like, thank you, this is helping me. And Justin already commented and said like he felt very touched that I did that. But I have to say, I've been in a really good mood.
Good.
Oh, and the one other thing I did, I tipped my sanitation workers, the garbage men and the recycling truck people, when they came by my trash days on Friday, and they came out Friday, and I ran out there with money, cash, and envelopes. I'm not trying to like brag on myself. I'm just trying to say I've never tipped them before, and I probably should tip them like at Christmas and stuff. But it was just like I made a comment. It was last Friday when they came. I looked at my son because we looked at them through the window, and I was like, the trash workers, they work so hard, even when it's a holiday, like they're always here. They're, you know, I'm
picking up your garbage.
Yeah. Like they always do a great job. Like there's not like, not that I don't know how you, I mean, there's plenty of ways to do a bad job.
Like, Jesus.
Like they never
throwing the trash.
Yeah. The trash isn't thrown on the street. The garbage cans aren't taken over. There have been times when I forgot to put my can out in the street and they run up into my carport and grab it for me.
Oh, that's quality.
Wonderful. Yeah. And they're always there. They're, you know, I never feel like, I mean, I'm not out there talking to them every day, but I never feel like they're doing it with any kind of complaint or ill will. They're just out there doing their job. And I just wanted to say thank you.
They're the real trash pals.
Yeah. But I was like, when I made a comment, my son was like, well, we should do something for him. I was like, okay, next time I go to the store, I'm going to get cash back. We'll give him a tip. So I did that too. And it feels really good.
Yeah.
Just be like grateful and try to have gratitude while you're trying to get through everything. And
let me ask you a question about the podcast that you listen to.
Oh, yeah.
You mentioned the two, when, the reason that they help you get through, are they talking about things that like makes you feel less alone in whatever you're dealing with in this quarantine situation, or are they like distracting you from that?
It's a little bit of both.
Okay.
It's a little bit of both. So pod therapy is run by two therapists. One is, they're both addictions, or maybe just one's addictions. I'm going to stop because I'll get wrong what their specialties are. But Nick Tangeman and Dr. Jim Jobin are the two therapists. And they just want to increase mental health awareness, try to get people to, you know, normalize mental health concerns, talk about their issues. They've got kind of like a little community support group going on. I started listening to them a little bit before quarantine started, but I binged through the whole back catalog and now I'm all caught
up.
Oh, shit. Yeah. But they've been on for 2 or 3 years, so it's kind of a lot. But, you know, what else was I doing? but they do it with humor and just, like, lightheartedness. So it's been – there's been a lot of, like, I see myself in some of the calls – that not calls, but emails. You know, people send in emails asking for help with situations, and then they talk about their own issues. You know, Dr. Jim – it talks about his own anxiety issues, and like a running joke on the Pod Therapy podcast is Jim's neurotic bingo. Like, see if you can get bingo when he, every time he mentions some of his own issues and how it relates to one of the,
I feel like we can play that game on this show.
Oh, absolutely. We could. Absolutely. But you know, it's just, so it's a little bit of relating, like, hey, I'm going through that too, and then kind of normalizing it, but also having humor in there because right. They're two funny guys and they're normal people.
I mean, I kind of, like, I feel like that's what we're trying to do on this show, at least. Whether or not we succeed, I don't fucking know.
I think so, too, and I think that we've really excelled at it the past couple weeks. What do you think, Nick, as a listener?
I think the show is very... therapeutic for a lot of reasons, because it's a reprieve from the grind, right? And then when this all kind of came about, all this crazy shit with COVID and people staying home, there's a lot of anxiety with that. There's a lot of uncertainty. And I think to have some continuity, to have some consistency with these episodes coming out, and you guys being open about stuff that you're going through and adding a sense of humor to it, and just being open about stuff. I mean, I think that is very therapeutic, and I think podcasting is very cathartic for the podcaster, and I think it's very cathartic for the listener too.
Yeah.
You know, because there's only so much you can do. I mean, there's only so much Typo Negative and Marilyn Manson you can listen to, you know?
Peter.
And you gotta
that's a personal attack.
You gotta put a little sunshine. No, because Peter's a Pearl Jam fan. I'm a Pearl Jam fan, you know? and there's a lot of good music out there, but you gotta like take a break from the music sometimes and like just kind of, you know, like I think podcast, that's how I got introduced to podcast. I'm sitting in traffic and I was like, man, I love listening to my music, but I need something else. I stumbled across podcasting and it was like, wow, I feel okay.
I feel like I need to like get back into listening to podcasts. It's something that I haven't been doing because like it kind of distracts me from work sometimes. And now without a commute, like I can't do it at all.
Yeah.
So, but like I've been kind of in a musical rut and like I'm just finding myself listening to the same thing. So like, I don't know, like recommend some other podcasts for me to listen to. Peter, do you listen to any other podcasts besides like us? Clearly.
Not really.
So, well, I mentioned Pod Therapy, and the other one I said that I emailed was Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social. Two improvers and an audio guy. And one of the improvers, Matt Donnelly, is on Penn Sunday School.
Yes.
So you probably know him from that,
yes.
Jenny. And it's the same kind of thing. They're comedians, they're funny, but they talk about their real issues, you know, their real life struggles. And it's they have a much longer back catalog, and I started listening to them like a year and a half ago, and I had a terrible year last year. I talked about a little bit on the show but didn't give away too much personal information, but it really helped me address some of my own issues, you know?
Interesting. Yeah.
Like just hearing them, like Matt and Paul both, they struggle with their weight and they've kind of yo-yoed back and forth. Matt more so than Paul have yo-yoed up and down with their weight. And they talk about like food addiction and, you know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, Matt's a parent, talks about his struggles, you know, raising his kids and, you know, work and rage issues. Like Matt's talks, I don't want to like give away shit, but oh, whatever. You just, if this sounds funny, go back and listen to it.
The TLDR for the back catalog.
Well, Matt tells this hilarious story, which it's hilarious, but it's also sad. Like he got road rage and traffic was like furious at somebody who had cut him off. And grabbed a handful of change out of his center console and started chucking the change at the car. And he did it. And then, and he's so like, it's a funny story, but then he's like, I feel terrible. Why did I do that? I threw change at somebody. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? You know? So it's those kind of things where it's like very human. And even though it's funny, it's like, it'd be funny in the movie, but this is my life. Why did I do this?
Right.
That kind of a thing.
And I definitely wouldn't do anything that rageful.
But it's those kind of things. It's like you know, it's like I think about it in myself. And then, so like I had already kind of been thinking of like, oh, I've got these similar issues. And then like, I stumbled on pod therapy because the pod therapy community got absorbed by the ice cream social community. They're both based in Las Vegas, and there was a few crossover episodes, and it was like all the people who listen to ice cream social, there's like a Hey Scoops Facebook group where it's like all the listeners and their community, and they can like just go on there and post and like talk about stuff they need help with or whatever. And people started posting things that they needed help with, and other listeners were referring them to pod therapy. They're okay. Like, you should write this into pod therapy. So now like all the, it's like a big overlap, like almost entirely. It's the same way kind of like the Penn Sunday School audience kind of gravitated over to Scoops, then the Scoops gravitated
to
pod therapy in a different way.
Or like us and Bell and Dubs. And
exactly.
And
yeah. And Comic-Cons, I hope. I hope that, Nick, you've picked up some Comic-Cons listeners through Mouthy Broadcast. I hope so.
Oh, I hope so too.
I think we're kind of similar. The only difference is we start out Comic-Cons with an exact topic. Where's Mouthy Broadcast? It's like, what do we each have to bring to the table? And Comic-Con's, it's like, let's start with this movie.
Well, that's why we're bringing guests on, because it's like, we're not leaving the house. We're not doing as much shit. So it's like, let's bring guests on and change shit up. I would very much like to be on Comic-Con's.
I would very much like to have you on Comic-Con's.
I don't know what to talk about, but
I mentioned that in our previous thread. We were talking about the Bell and Dub show. I was like, next time you're I guess that was before all this, so I guess we're gonna have to, I guess we're gonna have to get a three-way going.
So I don't, how have I rambled on too much?
Yes. Just fucking with you.
I just wanted to bring something up quick though.
Do it.
I don't know. So Nick and I have known each other for what, like 23-ish years, Nick?
Oh my God, you're old.
Yeah, we're old as fuck, you guys. Nick can tell you guys about my days as a poet.
Ooh.
A poetry slammer.
Young artsy woman.
Lauren and I were, Lauren was a prestigious member of the literary magazine.
Ooh, and
she would have to, I think she was, you were an editor, right?
Yes, I was co-editor.
Co-editor, sorry. Yeah. And
there were other editors with me.
So I was a aspiring poet, and I would go to these poetry slams, you know, and Lauren
this
would be
the
there.
In the 90s, it was slam.
Let the boys and girls kind of talk about Lilith Fair, but also be friendly to each other.
That's exactly what it was. That's the exact. Yes, that's it.
It was at a library, actually. We would go there, and some people would perform like little songs, and some people would just do poetry. And Lauren came up to me. She was like, "Wow, you know, you're friends with my younger brother, right?" I was like, "Yeah, yeah." She's like, "Wow, it's a really good poem, you know." And then Lauren was instrumental in getting a poem of mine put in the literary magazine, and it was kind of controversial.
It's true. It was very controversial, you guys. Very controversial.
And she took it all the way up to the Capitol Hill. You know,
do you still remember any of the poem? Or
yeah, I remember what it was about. At least I don't remember what it was about.
Yeah, it was about Matthew Shepard, and I was one of those deep introspective thinkers that was, you know, had the fingertips on the pulse of the community.
Do we have any like young listeners who don't know who Matthew Shepard is? Maybe. I don't think so.
Just Google it.
I think all our listeners are our age or older. So
yeah.
But Matthew Shepard died in a hate crime. He was a gay guy who was murdered for being gay. And it was all over the news in, I guess this was 98? Maybe 99?
Yeah. Oh, I think it was earlier than that, wasn't it? It feels earlier than that.
I don't know.
Now I'm going to Google it.
But there were protesters at his funeral holding up signs that said, "God hates fags."
It was 98, you're right.
And
you know what's fucking terrible is that, like, how long ago was that?
Yep.
And people are still doing this shit.
22 like, years. 22 years, and here we are still.
It's
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That just makes me fucking mad.
But Nick wrote this poem, and he said, a sign reads, within the poem, one of the lines was, a sign reads, "God hates fags," in quotation marks. And please, nobody take that drop out of context, please.
Yeah, no. We will destroy you if you do. So,
oh my God.
But, you know, obviously the whole poem was a larger piece about acceptance and love and ending hate and narrow-mindedness. And we wanted it in the literary magazine, and the principal said no. And me and the other editor sat in the principal's office, and we said, "This needs to be in our magazine." And he was like, just like really angry at us. And was like, "I'm not going down for this." And we're
was he angry because of the language that was used in it?
Yeah, basically? he didn't like the language. And we were like, "But it's in quotation marks. It says sign reads." And he's like, "I'm not going down for this." Like, he kept saying he wasn't going down for this. And he made it very clear that if anybody called the school complaining, it would be our asses on the line.
Right.
And it was really weird. It was like, why don't you just say, "I can't take responsibility. I'm sorry." Like,
right.
I think if I was an adult now, it's funny because now I have a different perspective as an adult, and I have a child who's in high school and might be going through the same thing, concerned about censorship and stuff like that. And I would have to, if I felt like it couldn't go into a school publication, I would have to say, "Look, this is my responsibility, and people might take this out of context, and then that's on me."
Mm-hmm.
Instead of looking at two young women, I think we were both 17, and telling us, "You're two of my star students. Like, you're graduating this year. Don't you want to walk at graduation?" That's like, he was saying that.
And you put your graduation on the line for this poem.
Absolutely.
You felt that strongly.
Absolutely.
About it.
It was totally
fantastic.
That was
fucking fantastic.
It was saying something. And if it had come down to it, I'm sure that we could have gone to the school board or whatever. But nobody complained about it. Let's be honest. It was a high school literary magazine. I don't think anybody read it. So-
Hey, I think a lot of people read it. Okay.
I'd have to go dig through my parents' basement, but I still have a copy of that literary magazine.
Wow.
And I could take a picture of your poem and post it for our Patreons. But I have to wait till quarantine's over because it's in my parents' basement.
Right.
Yeah. Safety first.
Yeah.
You know what? Since you brought up poetry, though, like, that's actually something that's kind of been something that's helped me through. It's not... I don't know how to describe it. So, like, I started going to these, like, open mic nights every Monday night at the venue. Oops, just fucked up my mic. That's fine. The venue on 35th Street in Norfolk. And it's just this little this little venue. They just, you know, every Monday nights they do open mic. You can do poetry, you can do music, you can do whatever you want. And I started going to support my friend who was doing stand up. Our friend Anna was, who was on the show a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I just absolutely loved the venue. Like I really got into the poetry. I got into like everything that they were doing. Like I think the first time I went, I actually like started crying because I got so emotional and like so wrapped up in like all these things that people were putting out there. Like people were like bearing their emotions on stage. And I was just like, oh my God, like I kind of wanted to do it, but I was like, I don't know what I'd put up there, whatever. Like I used to write poetry when I was like 15 or whatever. Some of it was okay. Some of it was fucking terrible, you know, as all of it is when you're that age. But I thought about like just reading one and kind of like relating my story of like why I would want to tell that story, you know, that kind of thing. Well then, you know, that was only about like a month before. No, I started going like actually last year, but I kind of went sporadically and I started going like probably twice a month. And then the whole quarantine thing started, and they're even though they're shut down, they have a Monday night open mic, and you know you can just join in and just listen. You can go and like you can perform. You basically get the 5 minutes just like you normally would on.
Is it over Zoom?
Yeah, it's over Zoom.
Nice.
So it's kind of cool. Like, can you like now they have reactions where you can like. You know, you can clap or thumbs up or nice. Whatever. So like you can kind of like applause without having to be on mic, you know, because the way they do it, like the when you join, you're muted automatically and he unmutes you when it's your turn or whatever. But it's all free and is open to the public to join in. Like they ask for donations. So I think I'm going to throw them a few bucks because I've joined in a couple of them. It was, you know, it's something that kind of like, little things like that kind of like, you know, makes you feel like you're in your regular routine.
Yeah.
That I kind of like every now and then. And in hearing people like express themselves. And I mean, there's a little bit of everything in there. There's people talking about, last week there was somebody talking about the I guess it's daily in New York City. They do this like thank
the
you
pots
to the
and pans thing.
Yeah, they like yeah. thank the first responders and the hospital workers and every like and the entire city is silent until like 7 p.m. or whatever, and everybody leans out their window and they cheer and they bang pots and pans and they just make all this freaking noise and they're like, I mean, there's people like clanging bells and all kinds of shit, and it's like. I don't know. It's just really cool, like to see things like that where people are so moved to, you know, bring positivity in the world, you know, and I like being a part of that. I think I said something. My friend George runs the open mics, and he posted an article recently. I'll have to share that to the notes or whatever. Like talking about like how this venue like actually saved his life. Like he was suicidal, and he started doing this and it turned things around for him, you know?
Wow.
And we just, the impact that place has had on this community. And I said how, like, I'm not a part of the community. Like I don't go up and do the poetry readings. I don't perform. I don't do anything. I just go as a observer, you know, but I feel like I'm welcome in that community, which is a very like important thing, regardless of whether we're under quarantine or not, you know, to feel like you're welcome into the circle with these people. So, yeah. So like, if you have a few bucks and want to donate to support the arts in Norfolk, they're a great place to donate to, because I'm sure that like everybody else, they're struggling to keep the doors open at this point.
And it's called The Venue at 35th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put that link in the show notes.
Sure. Yes. I have to grab it before I forget, because when we do the shows, people like sometimes will like refer back to something that we talked about, and I'm like, I don't remember what the fuck I said.
Forget all the time.
Yeah, like literally all the time. Like, oh, you said blah blah blah.
Mm-hmm. You did?
Okay.
When did that happen?
I've already forgotten things that we said at the beginning of this show. That's how bad it is.
Cry me a river.
See, I totally forgot that we started with Justin Timberlake.
No, we started with Billy Zane and nipple clamps.
Oh, that's right.
And then like, we got serious.
Like Titanic, but with nipple clamps.
Like Titanic, but with nipple clamps.
That's our title.
I'm actually writing that down.
Right or now. The bad guy from Titanic, but with nipple clamps.
The bad guy. And it wasn't the iceberg.
Like Justin Timberlake, but an uncredited woman.
There you go. Perfect.
I don't know how long we've been doing this show, but I think we're about time to wrap up. And I never actually said on the show, but if anybody's out there listening to Bell and Dubs, if you're not, shame on you.
Yeah, get your ass on that shit right now. It's fucking good.
Yeah, it's great. We're putting a lot of fucking hard work into it. If you are listening to it, you've already heard Nick on episode one. You were the Mr. Viagra, is what
he, yes.
One of the audience members in episode one. He's going to be in two more episodes coming up towards
the end. Is it a surprise? Because I don't even know yet.
It's actually in one of the episodes that you did. But because the way we record it all separately, like it's all like isolated and shit. Like we've been social distancing this podcast. So he's one of the family members in episode 10.
Okay.
And he's a pretty major part in episode 11 also.
Okay.
So yeah, I'll send you some more spoilers if you want after the show.
It's okay. I'll wait. Especially I'm really enjoying listening to every episode, so I don't need the spoilers. I'm good. Well, and that's part of the good thing about the way that we recorded. Like, I have the gist of many scenes,
yeah,
but not the, because I was in most of the scenes that I got to do were in the features, so I have the gist of the feature for each of the episodes that are upcoming, but not the full span
right.
episode. So as I get to listen, it's really great to hear it unfold. So I'm really enjoying it.
There's actually been episodes that I didn't listen to until they came out because Justin did all the production on it. And I'm like, he's like, do you want to hear it? And I'm like, nope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's just wait till it's out. I
want to be surprised.
Yeah.
And like, I think it was episode 6 that I was listening to, like the last one that came out. And I was just like, I think I messaged him. I was like, this came out great. Like he was like, I don't know. Like, no, it fucking came out great. It's super exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Nick, where can people listen to Comic Cons?
Comic Cons podcast is available on all podcast platforms, including Anchor.fm, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, iTunes. And yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Comic Cons Podcast. And thanks for letting me plug the show, and thanks for having me on. This was awesome.
Of course. Thanks for joining us today. So, yeah, we're Mouthy Broadcast. I've run out of spadoinkle. mouthybroadcast.com, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Mouthy Broadcast. We're on Patreon, at Mouthy Broadcast. For just $1, you can get the videos. You can get the shows in advance. And you can call us at 757-541-CUNT. We'll see you next Tuesday, motherfuckers.
We gotta come up with a good drop, don't we?
No.
I still have a TikTok, guys. You can still follow me on TikTok.
At the Tic Tacs.
It's 69 followers. 69, dude.
That's a Bell and Dubs reference that hasn't happened yet.
Uh-oh. I'm up to 73 followers. That's not
73, dude.